Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, this is Mary Lurson with the NAMM Foundation and our podcast, Talking Up Music Education, coming live from the 2018 NAMM show here in Anaheim, California. And through the good partnership with EnterTalk Radio, we're coming to you via Facebook Live. So thank you for joining us. Please let folks know that we're here at the NAMM show and we'd love to share it with you. I'm so delighted to have here a guest, Bunny Brunell.
I'm delighted to be with you here.
And if you aren't aware that this wonderful man is also a remarkable bass player.
So that's what people say. You
that's
know,
what so people I'm say. We're going to keep saying for as long as we can. All right. So one of the pleasures we have at Talking at Music Education is chatting with well-known musicians, multiple Grammy nominated, playing with Grammy Award artists and main name Stevie Wonder, Herbie Hancock, to name, I could keep
name
naming,
a few.
Just name many, right? And also an innovator with the bass. But also, almost always with Talking at Music Education, we go back to your origin story, right? The origin story. So when did it all begin for you? Did you have an opportunity to learn music when you were young and in school? Was there compulsory music?
Well, in France, they do not teach music in schools.
And what part of France?
I'm from the south of France, from Nice. And what happened, it's just usually people end up after school going to the classical conservatory. So that's where you learn. So when I was 6 years old, my mom took me and you learn how to, solfeggio, to read the music and all that. And then when I was 9 years old, I got few piano lessons, but my mother couldn't afford it. So I ended up just banging on the piano by myself. You know, it's just like, oh. And I remember trying to play Misty, you know, Harold Gardner, you know, right. Doo-doo-doo, bling, bling, bling. You know, so. Right. Anyway, I keep doing and keep figuring out things, you know. Obviously, I have a very good ear, so I can, you know. One day I found that I was at college, you know. I went to the Hotel College in Nice. They have an École Hôtelière.
So you went to
I learned about all hotels.
So the hospitality industry.
Yes. So I learned how to run. I can run an hotel. I know everything about hotels, you know, from cleaning the glasses to accounting and things like that. So, and I found an acoustic guitar that had the headstock was broken. And I brought it to a friend of mine. I was a cabinet maker, so he fixed it. You know, I put some mechanics, strings, and I started like, I was just playing, you know, strumming chords and everything. And just shortly after, they were looking for, the band of the college was looking for a guitar player to, you know, comping, you know. So I end up being in a band. There's some pictures, it's funny, on my site. You can see me with the dark glasses, with a guitar, you know,
cool.
Looking really cool.
Very
you know?
Cool. Right.
And it's just totally self-taught, you know, always learning the thing by myself, by ear. And one day they told me, one of the guy in the school here is going to play the bass. So here is some money, goes to that place and bring a bass back. We were talking acoustic bass, okay? So I went to the place, you know, pick up an acoustic bass and came back, you know, for the rehearsal. He said, here is the bass. He said, well, the guy is not going to make it. Why don't you play the bass? That's how I became a bass player.
Isn't that amazing?
I started playing. I think it was cool, you know, playing the acoustic bass.
So were you in college age? Did you go to
college, yes.
Then you went to the conservatory?
I was to the conservatory before, and then after that, I decided to go to the conservatory to learn actually how to play that instrument with the bow
the
and the classical.
Bass, the upright bass, bass,
yes,
right.
Classical. And so I learned how to play the classical and things like that, and it was a 3 years courses.
You know, and that was in the conservatory in Nice.
In Nice, you know.
Now, this is where I have the surprise for you.
Okay.
Because when I was a professional flutist for many years, mm-hmm. and I studied at the conservatory in Nice.
Oh, very good.
And so it's up on the hill, right?
It's beautiful place, isn't it?
Yes. And I would walk from town. I lived in the town.
Yeah.
And I would walk every morning and have to climb many steps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it
That's
is the
right.
same
I know
building,
the same
right?
same building. Yes,
and
it's gorgeous.
And it was beautiful. And,
it's a gorgeous place.
And there was a faculty member that came from the Paris Conservatory, and then for 2 weeks of that training we had master classes there. So when I was reading all about you, and I can't wait to tell you, I went to the
city. That's amazing.
And I lived in the city for 6 months.
Excellent. So do you speak any French at all?
I spoke so much French when I lived there, and I could go to the markets and I could have people over and we, and I got on the plane and I never spoke a word of French.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you don't practice, if it's not the original language, you lose it.
But it is a magical place.
You know,
the
that's
old
Nice.
Town.
Yeah, Nice is gorgeous.
The old town and the markets and the food. And,
yeah, that's where I like to go. And it's funny because, for instance, I do not eat any pizza in America. I don't like
because
pizza.
Because it's so, the flat.
I don't like the pizza here. But in Nice, they have a place called La Pizza, La Pizza Crécy, that's the name of the owner. And when I get out of the plane, I drive to the Pizza Crécy to have a pizza every time.
Well,
that's the best.
They also have that ancient flatbread made with chickpea flour.
It's called soca.
With chickpea flour, right?
It's soca.
And it's done in the
famous.
Wooden. And then you'd
fire.
Have to, you'd go down in the middle of the night and you'd stand in line and wait for them.
With a glass of rosé wine, that goes perfectly.
See?
You have to eat with your fingers,
I think
remember?
We should just stop now and go somewhere and try to find it.
It's fun that you went to that conservatory.
Yeah, I did.
I
think for many of us, as I was much younger, but and performing a great deal and perfecting my craft and my art, and to go there and to, be with musicians and perform all day long and go to concerts. And I went to the Nice Jazz Festival that was there.
Yeah, very
and
good.
I
played at that festival.
And
so.
I heard the Modern Jazz Quartet. I mean, we're going back,
Great. Amazing bands.
I still have in my ear the final note from the marimba player. I mean, it was just like, wow, where did he choose that note? Why that note? And I remember kind of walking through the gardens because everything was so casual, too.
Yes, exactly.
It's just so, like if you were to have a jazz festival in your own backyard, you would do it that way.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Over there is a little bit of that. So I walked around this corner. I'll stop talking and let you talk. But since we're having a Nice reunion
here. Yes, of course.
Right? And I walked around and there was this jazz quintet, I believe. And right there, not fancy, right? Mm-hmm. And just benches. And I sat and I go, wow, that is just amazing. Because it was a trumpet player and a keyboard player. And just go, wow, that is just amazing. Wow, that is it was Wynton Marsalis, but it was like 40 years ago, when he, before everything broke
before,
for him.
Yeah.
So I have very, very, and I've not been back, but I would love to go back and take my
Unfortunately,
my adult daughter
they
with me.
Changed the place of the jazz festival. They're not doing it in the arenas, the old Roman
room. That's where
so they're doing it next to the Mediterranean,
down by
the water over there. And I'm supposed to play, they're having the anniversary of that jazz festival, and I'm supposed to play with some people from Nice at that festival.
Well, you better go.
Be great.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta go.
Well, you gotta go.
So anyway, so it's fun that you went to that conservatory,
Your origin, we're talking about your origin story. I didn't mean to talk about a piece of my origin story, but your origin story is that you came out of this, it wasn't determined that you were going to be a musician or an upright bass player. There were a lot of little accidents that occurred along the way.
Well, the thing is just usually if you're doing what excites you, you end up being the universe put you in the right place at the right time. It's like, as I told you, I was really self-taught on the piano and the guitar. And then the bass, I started playing the bass. And finally, I went to that conservatory we were talking about. And it was like a 3-year courses, to learn. So
the conservatories are serious places to learn music.
Yeah, so first month, I was in the first year, of course. Second month, they moved me to the second year. And third month, they put me on the third year, because I was already, you know, I could understand, I could play, you know, so easily. So
I like what you said. What happened, the universe puts you in the right place.
Yeah, the right moment. And beside that, somebody started lending me, you know, an electric bass and all that. So then I bought an electric bass, and I was at the time, you know, you had the Beatles and thing, the pop music, boom, boom, boom. It was boring. So then I got into James Brown. Finally, some people playing some interesting bass line, you know. So Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, Wilson Pickett. So I end up playing all those bass lines, you know. That's how I learned to play the electric bass.
From what I read and what I, you know, what I'm absorbed about your career, you kind of created another way of playing the bass.
Well, what it was, right? I tell you what it was. It's just I used to listen to people playing bass solos. That sounded like a mystery, you know. It was like boom, boom, bidding, boom, ding, boom, boom. It was like, I wanted to play a solo like Coltrane, like a Herbie Hancock. I wanted to make some phrasing. So I started practicing to do that, you know. I was just practicing, playing phrases and scales and thing going up and down. And one day there's a friend of mine who played me a record. Said, oh, listen to that. And it was Bill Evans. A trio at the Montreux Jazz Festival, and he just put the track where there is a bass solo by Eddie Gomez, Embraceable You. And I heard, I say, that's it, that's what I want to do. You know, that showed me that I was in the right track, was doing what I wanted to do. So I actually don't play like that marvelous player, you know, I love Eddie Gomez, but I kept doing what I wanted to do because I heard him that it was actually possible. After that, you have you know, Stanley Clark with Steve Corea with the acoustic bass, you know, and I loved it, you know, the sound and all that. And that's what I was doing, is just playing, you know, jazz and improvising on the bass and things like that. And one day, a keyboard player, a friend of mine, his name is Daniel Goyon, he's on a couple of my albums, you know. One day he came to my house with a record. He said, oh, you listen to that, you know, there's a guy who plays like you. I pick up the guy. It was Jaco. It was the album Jaco. And I listened to it. It was like beautiful, the sound and thing. Oh. It was a great compliment. Yeah. But just to tell you, I was playing stuff like that already. It was not
wonderful.
So what's good about it, because I had all those people that I listened to, I didn't have to get stuck like trying to play like Jaco or Stanley Clark, or, you know, I listened to all those bass players. I remember Paul Jackson with I loved the way that guy played the bass with Herbie Hancock, you know, the Headhunters. I love that, the bass, the guy, the way he plays, you know. So all that is what I put in my bag to create what I do. Mm-hmm. So that's
but always
that's
reaching
secret.
For something that was your own style, right?
Exactly.
It was like there was still that. What an artist does.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's you know that it's a little bit of this and a little bit of this, but it's me coming through.
Exactly, coming through. Right. And I was fortunate. I was playing in the Ronnie Scott Club in London with Tania Maria, a killer pianist, singer, Brazilian. And Andre Ceccari on drums, which is a trio. All that. And every night we had a guy that was there. I didn't know who he was. You know, with the cognac and all that, it was Patrick Moraz. Patrick Moraz, who played that with Yes, played with the Moody Blues keyboards and things, you know. I didn't know really who he was at all. And he was every night saying, oh man, there's only, you know, you only have like a Stanley, Jaco, Jeff Berlin, and you. Yeah. So, oh yeah, thank you, you know. And then on Saturday, so tomorrow I'm not coming. I'm going to see Chick Corea. I say, oh, that's a better idea. You know, he said, no, but I'm going to bring it. He has to listen to you. And I didn't know that was his friend. He brought, and Chick was looking for a bass player, and he came, and that's how I met Chick Corea. And he said, oh, that's the guy I want to replace Stanley Clark.
So how long
Stanley
were you
Clark.
With Chick Corea,
78 to 86.
That's a good run,
you
boy.
Know, so,
wow.
And I was a little bit in between. I was with Tony Williams because Chick was doing duet with Herbie Hancock. So, and after that, I was with, you know, different people. I played with Herbie, with Wayne Shorter, you know. So
I know.
All all my heroes.
So along the way, as you were seeking this, you know, your unique sound and your unique facility on the instrument, that you started to adapt the instrument, right?
Yes, of course.
Because what did you do? Do you play a fretless bass?
Yes,
a
fretless bass. You know, I played fretted at the beginning, of course, but you know, playing the acoustic bass.
Yeah.
Which
is naturally
naturally one of those fretless. Right. You know, right. and the idea is just to keep doing the way what you want to do, the way you want to do it. And because you cannot listen to other people's beliefs. The problem with people's beliefs, they don't really achieve anything because they believe something that somebody else told them. Oh, you got to find a job, you know, and with a job, then after that you can play the... No, no. You want to play the bass, you want to play the guitar, you want to play the drums, you're going to practice every day, 8 hours. I was practicing 10 hours a day. And that's the only way. Just keep practicing and focusing on what you want to achieve and do not listen to anybody. You know, it's your life. You're the one who should make the decision. It's your belief. And you're the one who's going to create your life with your belief. That's how it goes. You know, so if you listen to somebody else, then you become a belief thief. You know, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. So, and I never thought, and on top of it, you have to do it without expectations. I never thought I would play with Chick Corea, you know. No, I just keep going. I wanted to do that. I wanted to, you know, I didn't have any expectation whatsoever. And when you do that, the universe puts you in the right spot to do, you know, that's how I end up meeting Chick Corea, coming here to replace Stanley Clark. And you understand? And I never thought of it. I never put it in my mind. I never thought, oh, I'm going to be a great bass player. Then I'll play with the Herbie Hancock. I never thought that
way. But you're saying it so really so beautifully, the essence of why we are working so hard to make sure that every young person has a chance to learn music.
Yeah,
we are because, you know.
That's what I'm saying there.
Right. I mean, this is the essence of our work at the NAMM Foundation, and what we love to talk about on Talking at Music Education is for some, it's a choice to pursue this work so passionately. For some, it's not a choice because it's such a passion.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
You just have to keep working on
yes.
it. And, you know, the work that we're hoping to foster is that we just want the opportunities to be there. You bumped into some opportunities along the way,
yeah,
right?
Because you know? I didn't put anything ahead. I just keep doing what I wanted to do and the way I wanted to do it.
Right.
And of course, I was playing, you know, in South of France, I was playing gigs in casinos, you know, played in Monte Carlo, you know, the blackjack, you know, you got to make a living. So I was doing the gigs
put
and
it
things
all
like
together. Yep.
Playing the bass. I wouldn't play solos, bass solos, you know, I would play the bass, you know. And then after that, I moved to Paris because that was the place at the time to do recording sessions. You have all the big studios and actually recorded for a lot of French artists at the time. And to tell you the truth, I really don't remember. You know, you go into a room, you know, you go in with your bass, you know, you go in the studio, you're signing a paper to get paid, you know. And, you know, they put headphones, sit on the chair, you have a chart, they put, you know, thing, and then 3-4, and you playing, you know, you play, you're reading the thing, and then it's finished.
You say thank you, everyone.
You play another one,
right?
And then thank you, and you leave. So you don't, I didn't know at all with these people. Few people I knew, but some of them I recorded a lot of people on for a lot of people.
But it's
and
part
no
of
idea.
The picture. I mean, you were a studio
yeah.
musician.
Exactly,
you
playing
were, right?
the bass. That's
right.
what I tell people. If you want to play the bass, stop doing what I hear people. They have like a 12-string basses and they're playing chords, the solos and things. It's just like, if you want to work as a bass player, you're going to have to play the bass. That's the first things you have to do. That's why Stanley Clark was successful. He always played the bass. Of course, he became famous because the solos were beautiful, but he still played the bass. When he's not soloing, he's playing the bass. And unfortunately, I'm saying that for the youngster, a lot of them don't understand that. I hear some people that are like amazing technique playing solos, but they don't know really how to do what we call the pocket. And that's where it is. If you want to work with bands, you're going to have to play the bass, play the pocket. You
then
really
the
nail
rhythm,
the thing down.
The rhythm section.
Nail it down, you know? Because that's the job the bass is supposed to be. If on top of it, then you can play a bass solo, they are going to make you play a bass solo. But don't forget the first thing first, play the bass. As I say, I learned how to play the bass listening to all those great artists, you know, and that's how I did it.
So you're also active now promoting and helping other young bass players, right? You've just given us a very good riff on that, right?
Yes, I always like to do clinics.
Do you teach? Do you have a studio that students, or you're working with students?
Yes, I do. I usually teach at the SIR studio, you know, in Hollywood on Sunset. There's a, you probably heard about SIR. There's one in New York. There's 15 locations in America with that studio. So I'm the one in Hollywood over there. And that's where I give some bass lessons.
Because I think it's so important that the upcoming generation has access to what you know. And, you know, if it's through a lesson or a clinic or a paid clinic by someone else, like a manufacturer that you that endorses you or that you know, they sponsor the clinic, we just have to pass it on.
Yeah, that's what's great. You know, I did some clinic for ESP, the people that are doing, I designed a bass for ESP, the Bunny Brunel LTD model. And I use like Eden amplifier. So I'm doing some for these people. I'm doing some clinics and people really enjoy it.
I thank you for knowing that you need to give back and for giving back.
Definitely need to do that.
It completes you. So another really important thing that we'll kind of wrap up with is you are a chef.
That's what people, they
so found
out.
So you were trained in the hospitality business.
Yeah.
You had this long arc into artistry, and you are well-known and recording artist, still in high demand and very, very well-known. So is this just something, is this a hobby? Is this part of the passion? Is part of the picture the man from Nice who must make music and must
As I told you, I went to that Ecole Hotelière de Nice and I learned about everything about hotels, including cooking. And I liked the cooking because it was the artistic part of it. And I end up, working for some really famous hotel restaurant, you know, Palm Beach in Cannes, Grand Hotel du Cap in Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, you know, really like I'm a gourmet cook because I learned about it because my parents wanted me to have a job.
Well, yes, most parents do.
I had a job, I had a diploma, I have a diploma from the...
Something reliable. And then
I did what I wanted to do. So, but they were happy because I had it. So, and I always cook at home and all that and make some dinners, invite people and because it's easy, you know. It's not like some people, you cook. Yes, it's very easy. I can cook whatever, you know. I know how to cook. If I don't remember, I have a little thing with a resume of, recipes. I know how to do it. And I do it.
All right. So I'm going to put you on. What's a favorite thing to cook? Let's say if I called you at 4:00 and said, I'm coming over at 7:00. You didn't have a time to go to the market. What would you whip up? A beautiful omelet with herbs from the garden?
No, I would do some chicken, you know. I could do some soca for you because I know how to make soca.
Mm, you do?
Yeah.
I thought I had to go to Nice for that.
No, I can do it. I can do the soca.
Oh, darn.
That's
why I want to go back to Nice.
No, it all depends. Whatever is in the refrigerator, I'll be able to
do
something.
That's the beauty. I think that's the beauty of real French cooking is what is available. It's not so much like, I have to rush around and get the perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
When I want to do something, usually depending how many people, if it's a lot of people, then I change the kind of recipe idea of what I'm going to do. If it's few people, then I can make something different. But like, for instance, I did a special evening at, there's a place called The Bistro in Newport Beach. I played with my band Cab over there, but I did an entree for the people. So I went a day before and I prepare, you know, an entree. It was like some seafood with some what we call Armorican sauce. It's like Normandy style sauce, you know, flambé with cognac and things like that, with some potatoes, you know, and some rice and, you know. And I did a specialty from Nice for the vegan. I made some ratatouille. That's vegan.
So then you served, then your entree was on the menu, and then you were, and the dessert was your ensemble.
Yeah. We played because on a day we playing, I didn't cook, right? The chef took care of finishing and serving, you know. But I did it because somebody found out. you know, that I was could do that. It's
well, now everybody knows.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows. It was a Florentino Buenaventura who set it up, you know, part of
Intertalk Radio.
He's the one who figured out, oh, let's do that. And he cornered me.
So are grateful for our partnership with Paul and Florentino and Intertalk Radio and really their help in getting these great ideas out to the world.
Yes.
And sharing your wonderful ideas.
Like cooking, you know.
And making music.
reinventing
the bass. And
cooking on the bass as well, yes.
You no doubt could have been a 5-star hospitality executive.
Yeah,
but here you are.
People telling me, oh, why don't you open? And no, I'm not going to do
but
that.
But you are a 5-star fretless bass player and innovator.
Thank you very much. You know, so I tried to create something. As I said, I wanted to play like a solo, like Coltrane and all that. And I like melodies, making it very melodic. In fact, when my friend brought me that record of Jaco, what I picked up immediately from him is like the melodies. So beautiful. That guy would play those solo. They were so incredibly melodic and beautiful. And that's what I like. I say, oh, yeah, yeah. Because I was already playing like a bat out of hell. And like that, you can let's start slower and make it like, you know, that's what I got from Jaco, you know, that idea of creating something with a nice melody, you know, instead of playing 1,000 notes, you know. So, and I tell people, when you play solo, think of playing a melody, you know. It's, you know, playing 1,000 notes doesn't mean anything if you don't make it melodic that people can remember, you know, so what you played.
So we'll finish with those words of wisdom. I think those are very important words of wisdom, right?
Well,
play a melody.
Yeah, melody. Right?
Make sure that you're constructing something that people can remember.
That's why I like what Stevie Wonder said. If there is no melody, you cannot call it music.
We have to have a melody, and we all have a song in our hearts, and the chance that we have to make music allows us to express that and create a more musical world. So we thank you so much.
I thank you,
Bonnie,
Mary,
for our wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
About one of my wonderful, most wonderful memories of living and studying and playing and hanging out in Nice, your hometown. But thank you all for joining us and Intertalk Radio on our live webcast here from the NAMM Show with Bunny Brunel, a name known to so many in the world of jazz and jazz bass and good food and good gatherings and good live music and bass innovation. And we wish you all the luck. So thank you for joining us and being a part of Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.